I want to talk to you today about being carried away. Have you ever had anybody tell you not to get carried away? Have you ever been in an intense situation where someone was sort of acting out, or they were kind of getting emotional or getting a little bit high strung, and you had to try to calm them down and say, now, wait a minute, now, let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away. Have you heard that expression? I know you have. We usually get carried away by different circumstances, don't we? We get carried away by external forces. If you're driving to work and somebody cuts you off in traffic, you can suddenly find yourself carried away, can't you? If you don't get treated right in a restaurant or at a customer service counter, you can find feelings rising up inside of you, and you know that you're going to get carried away in a minute if something doesn't change. We can get carried away in our imagination. If you've ever been through a health crisis, or you've ever been in an emergency situation, or had a traumatic experience, your imagination can run off with you and carry you away. You can begin to look at the future that doesn't even exist, and you can begin to emotionally react to it. That's not your future, but in your imagination, it's happening. And so you get carried away with fear, or you get carried away with anger, you get carried away with discouragement. And feelings can carry us away. Imaginations can carry us away. The devil is more than happy to inspire that or to encourage that in any way that he possibly can. And so we'll get carried away in the moment. We'll get carried away by the emotion. We'll get carried away because of the provocation, because somebody pushed our buttons. So getting carried away is a phenomenon that we're accustomed to. It's something that we're aware of. It's something that all of us have experienced. A lot of times, even Christian people will develop the philosophy, whether they communicate it or not, or actually could write it down on a piece of paper, it's how they actually live. They just believe that they're being carried along by forces that are totally, totally outside of their control, that they have absolutely no say in anything. God is sovereign, and many times the teaching that we get or the way that we're taught the Bible will only focus on one aspect of God's character, and we'll feel like whatever I'm going through, whatever's happening to me, it's God who is carrying me through this or carrying me into this. It's the will of God, and so I'm helpless, and there's no use in trying, and there's no use in saying anything or praying anything or believing anything different. I'm just going to have to go through whatever it is that I have to go through, good or bad, and I'm being carried along by all of these great powers and circumstances and forces that are beyond my control. Here's what the Bible says about God's perspective on this particular aspect of what we're talking about. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to your advanced old age, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will carry you. Be assured, I will carry you, and I will save you. It's almost as if God is trying to convince an unbelieving audience, isn't it? He starts out and says, I'll carry you. And then the people don't get it. And he looks at them and he can see that they're not getting it. And he says, no, really, I'll carry you. And then they're still not sure, and there's some that are unconvinced. And he said, no, I'm serious. All of you skeptics, I will carry you and I will save you. I'm going to start with you and I'm going to finish with you. I'm going to be with you from the moment you're born until the day that you die. Even through all of the years where you're advanced in age and you're going through all the different things that come with life. As you go through life, you go through stuff. And the Lord is saying, at every stage of life, I'm going to carry you. So when you're a kid, I'll carry you through those young years. When you're a teenager, I'll carry you through your teenage years. I'll carry you through your young adult years and into your middle years and even to advanced old age. I'm serious. I want to be the one that carries you. Is that automatic? I don't believe that it is. I believe that God promises to do that, but all of God's promises in the Bible are only applicable to those who walk by faith. We inherit the promises of God through faith. It's by faith that we walk them out. They're not ours just because they're in the Bible. If that were the case, all of us would just be able to say, listen, I don't even need to read the Bible. God's promised all kinds of different things, and I'm just going to sit back and wait for them to happen. But the promises of God are activated by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I've got to have faith. That's what we were just singing about. I've got to have faith like Moses, like Daniel, like David. And faith is the thing that will carry me. That's how God wants to carry us, by our faith. We're led by the Holy Spirit, but we're carried by faith in God. Real faith in God. Now, real faith in God is different than dead faith. Dead faith is just simply confessing something without lifting a finger. The Bible says that faith without action, faith without works, is dead. So there has to be a corresponding action to whatever I believe the Word of God says. If the Word of God says give, then how do I demonstrate faith in the Word of God? By giving. If the Word of God says go, how do I demonstrate faith in the Word of God? By going. You get the idea. I can't just say it. I've got to demonstrate it. I've got to step out on it. I've got to act upon it. And the Bible is saying that God carries those that put their hope and their trust in Him. And that's the promise of God. If I trust the Lord, He's going to carry me through. If I trust the Lord, faith in Him is going to be the ticket. That's going to be the thing that's going to get me where I need to go. Now, how are we going to walk by faith and be carried by the power of God if we are filled with unbelief? If I want to live in just continual drama and let my life be carried away by drama, how in the world am I going to experience the great and precious promises of God and see the manifestation of what God desires in my life? I'm not going to be able to get there in my own strength. The Bible says that there are things that you're not going to be able to succeed in doing at all unless you put your faith and trust in God. Man can accomplish a great deal by his willpower, by his intelligence, by his creativity. All of these God-given things can be used apart from a relationship with God. God gave us stuff, and we can use that stuff and exclude Him if we want to. But there are places I cannot go unless God carries me there. There are things that are not going to happen in your life or in my life unless we really manifest faith in God to carry us through that situation and to carry us to the destination that He has for us. How many of you want God to carry you through the pearly gates? Every single one. We expect God at the time of death to fulfill His promise and carry us on into that place called heaven. And if I want God to carry me into heaven, I've got to start letting Him carry me now. Amen? My life's got to be a manifestation of the fact that I'm trusting in God to the point where God is carrying me into places that I could not go by myself. Typically, anything that hangs around for a long period of time is going to go into a decline. There are certain laws of physics that determine that something just sort of left to itself over a long period of time is going to decay, it's going to decline, it's going to go downhill. That's not what the Bible says about us. The Bible says that as we go along in trust in God and faith in God, led by the Holy Spirit, we climb higher and higher and we burn brighter and brighter. How does that happen? Because I'm putting my faith in the Lord, I'm trusting in Him, and He's carrying me to higher places. The natural tendency would be for me to go into lower places and decline. For all of my faculties to go downhill, for everything about me to decay and to deteriorate. But because I'm walking in faith in God, I'm being renewed day by day by my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm being carried in a way that is supernatural. So I'm not just walking in the flesh, but I'm walking in the Spirit. And because I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm being carried in a way and in a direction. And I've got a path that isn't a path that is declining. It's not a descending path. It's an ascending path. Amen? My nose is pointed this way. I have a different attitude. And that's who God has called me to be, and that's who God has called you to be. But we're going to have to be carried in that direction by a power that is greater than ourselves. And we can sit in church all day long, but church will not carry us where only God can carry us. You can carry yourself to church, and you can carry yourself out of church and be exactly the same way as you came in. But it's only by meeting God and putting our trust and our faith in God that faith will carry us through the week. If we come here to check a box, we won't make it until we get to lunch. And we'll just be on our own again. But if we put our trust in the Lord, faith will carry us through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday until we meet again. The purpose of being here is not for church to carry us, it's for our faith to increase so that faith will carry us through the week. Amen? Let me give an example of a whole group of people, and this is a tendency, this is sort of a theme in the Bible where you see how the multitude didn't necessarily live by faith or put their faith and their confidence in the Lord. The multitude had motives that were mixed. And churches have groups of people. We have a lot of people that come to this church, And so you could look at the multitude that come to the church, and you could say that perhaps there are large numbers of people that are here with mixed motives. The Bible gives an example of that. Jesus had just fed thousands and thousands of people with a lunch that was given to him by a little boy. So the little boy gives him his lunch. He blesses the food and multiplies the food and feeds thousands and thousands of people with a lot of food left over. That would be a blessing to the CHEW program, wouldn't it, Robert? And so we see this group of people, and Jesus challenges them now after this is all over with. He feeds them. He satisfies their desire for food, but then he comes back and he answers them, and he says, I assure you, and I most solemnly say to you, you've been searching for me, not because you saw the signs or the attesting miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You've been looking for me, he says, because you're hungry. And you're hungry for food. You want a free lunch. That's why you're looking for me. You've got a desire for food. You're not interested in spiritual things. You're interested in what you can get naturally to satisfy the hungers or the desires that you have, the needs that you present to the Lord. And in this case, it was a need for food. It was a need to be fed, actual, literal food. But our needs are multivariate, aren't they? There are so many different kinds of needs that we have, so many different motives that could bring us to Jesus outside of really wanting to surrender our life to him or live by faith for his glory. And he's putting his finger on it with this group of people. He said, you didn't come for any other reason other than the fact that you were hungry again and you wanted to get fed. He said, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures and leads to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for God the Father has authorized him and put his seal on him. And then they asked him, what are we to do so that we may habitually be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe, adhere to, trust in, rely on, and have faith in the one whom he has sent. So don't be carried along by your need, be carried along by faith in Christ. Don't just desire to be fed so that you'll have a temporary fix, but live by faith so that you'll always be full. Live by faith so that your deepest needs will always be satisfied. If you eat a sandwich, a few hours later, you'll have to have another one because you'll be hungry again. But if you receive Christ, he said, if you take from me, this is what communion really points to, he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's not like a sandwich in the natural that will leave you hungry after a few hours' time. If you partake of Christ, you'll be full and you'll be satisfied and you'll live your life not driven by need, but led by the fullness and the overflow of Christ in your life. There's a difference between me being motivated by need and coming to people and doing something because I have a need, and there's a difference between that and my needs being supplied already and going to you to help you out of my overflow. So that I'm overflowing with joy, I'm overflowing with peace, I'm overflowing with the power of God, and out of that overflow, then I'm able to live my life, and that's called the abundant life, the beautiful life that Jesus came for us to live. But he's pointing his finger at these folks, and he's saying to them, you're being carried along by your fleshly desires. You've only drawn close enough to Jesus so that you could have lunch. Before too long, you're going to be hungry again. And he's just simply letting them know, you can't use me that way. You can't use me as a meal ticket. That's just not going to happen. If you look at me that way, you're never going to see me for who I really am, and you're never really going to be fulfilled or satisfied. This is where many times people will just say, well, I just go from church to church, I go from church to church, and I go there for a while, and then I'm not getting fed, and I don't like it, and it doesn't feel right, and I'm restless, and I'm just constantly moving around. This is what happened to that multitude. When Jesus said, no more free lunches, now you're going to have to really deal with me. It's not just me giving you food. I want you to deal with me. I don't want you to look at what's on your plate. I want you to look at my eyes and look at my face, and I want you to go deeper, and I want you to go further than just your belly. And churches that preach to people's bellies, God help them, because Jesus refused to do that. He said, I'm not in this for your belly. We can come up with all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of tricks to temporarily satisfy people's belly and give them the natural or the fleshly things that they crave. But Jesus said, we're not going to do that. What did those people do? Do you know what they did? Many of them quit following him. Most of them stopped following him when he changed the menu. They just said, well, okay, well, we don't want any of that. If they're going to serve that up, then we're not interested in that. We want you to go back to the other stuff because we like that other stuff. It didn't last very long, but it was good while it lasted. It didn't produce any kind of lasting change. It didn't interfere with our lives. We were able to be carried along by the same things that always carry us Monday through Friday, and we don't want the church to interfere with that. We don't want the church to try to present to us or challenge us with something else. So we want to be just like we are, and church is a part of what we do, but it doesn't change who we are, and it doesn't influence what we do. It's not what our life revolves around. Our life doesn't revolve around the kingdom of God. It revolves around our bellies, whatever my need is. And so this is where you'll have people run around from place to place to place. And sometimes, genuinely, and I'm not discounting this, there are cases where people are living in deserts spiritually, and the local church that they're a part of is like a desert. I know that from my own personal experience. My family, when I was a boy, left the church that we had historically been a part of as a family for generations, and my dad made a courageous move and pulled us out of there and got us out of the desert into a place where we could feed on some really good stuff. I tell people all the time, we do not steal sheep here at River of Life. This is not a sheep-stealing outfit. We're not rustlers after other people's sheep. But I am not going to lie and tell people that we don't grow grass, because we grow grass. And if you're not going to grow grass in your pasture, then sheep get hungry, and don't blame me if they jump the fence and go where the grass is, because sheep are going to go where the grass is, and that's all there is to it. But there's a difference between just being drawn by church's programs or by what Jesus has to offer. Jesus, I don't want you to interfere with my life. I just want you to heal my body. I don't want you to interfere with my pursuit of wealth or my pursuit of power or my pursuit of fame. I just want you to make me happy. And I just want to be a happy person. And I just don't want to be guilty. And I want you to deliver me from certain types of things. But I want you to do for me what my belly craves to be done. I've got to be satisfied. I've got to fill this. I've got this little hunger right here. And I want you to take care of it, but I don't want you to interfere with my life, and I don't want to be carried away by faith. It's okay to be carried away by sports. It's okay to be carried away by drugs and alcohol. It's okay to be carried away by sex and pornography. It's okay to be carried away by a lot of things in our culture today. But God help you if you're one of those religious fanatics and you get carried away. Don't get carried away with that church. Don't get carried away with that church stuff. What are you going to church again? You go to church on Sundays? You go every Sunday? Let's not get carried. I hope you're not giving those people your money. Let's not get carried away now. Don't get carried away. It's okay to go up to the ABC store and give them your money. But, you know, it's okay to go to Food Lion and come back with a wheelbarrow full of, you know, barley pop. Suds. It's okay to do that. But boy, don't, you better leave your wallet in the car when you go into that church. You know, you don't want to get carried away. Don't let them get your money. Don't get carried away and serve. Don't get carried away and commit. Don't get carried away and become a member. Don't get carried away now. Don't get carried away and worship. We come in, you know, and we just kind of, praise God. And it's just, you know, it's pretty subtle. Pretty subtle. Are you praising? Yes, I'm praising. Internally, I'm praising. I'm shouting unto God on the inside. You know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And in my heart, I'm clapping. In my heart, I'm shouting. In my heart, I'm worshiping. I'm praising. Oh, really? Oh, really? And then, you know, you at a ball game. Ah! You know, you're just all over the map. You should see Pastor Miriam at a UK basketball game. I'm telling you. I'm the one that's saying, honey, you're getting carried away here. Let's just calm down. We went to the Dean Dome one time. They're playing Carolina. We're in the minority. We're surrounded by Tar Heel fans, and my wife is just going after them, you know? And I'm saying, honey, I'm not that big. I don't think I could fight my way out of here. These are young, big college guys. I can't, you're, you know, you're on your own. I may have to go down and sit on another level here and just leave you by yourself. I mean, you deal with it if you want to deal with it. But God says, if you don't want to get carried away with me, then let the other stuff carry you away then and see how that works. You watch and see how the other things treat you that want to carry you away. There's a whole line. They're waiting in line to see which one's going to take a crack at you and carry you away. Sometimes people think that they can handle it, and they don't, you know, they don't admit, or they would not agree with what I'm about to say. They would say, listen, I'm the boss of me. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody jerks me around. Nobody's going to carry me off to do anything that I don't want to do. And those are the famous last words. Because that's a person who's already unwittingly, ignorantly being carried away by pride. Not me. Other weak people might fall for that, but not me. That'll never happen to me. And then you watch and see what happens to that person, because the Bible tells us where pride carries us. Where does pride take you? The Bible says that pride comes before a fall. So where are you headed? You're headed down. You in your mind are thinking, I'm not going down. I'm too strong for that. I'm too good for that. I'm too smart for that. I'm too intelligent for that. I'm too tough for that. It'll never get me. And do you know where you're headed the whole time you're saying that? You know where pride is carrying you? Down. And while you're going down, you're so deceived by pride that you don't even realize that you're going down. There are people that feel like they're too powerful, they're too tough, they got too much willpower to ever be carried away by this or carried away by that temptation or this temptation. And yet there are people that live their entire life being carried along every day by anger. Anger carries them along every day. Everybody around them knows it. Everybody around them tries to stay out of the way and not push their buttons because they know that this person is being carried along by anger, and they're just trying to stay out of its way. There are people that are carried along by lust and greed and jealousy. We mentioned pride. People are carried away by so many different types of things, and people think that they're just on their own doing their own thing. Many times teenagers, it's ironic how teenagers become adults, and then we see oftentimes, even as parents, we'll criticize our kids or we'll talk to our children about not going along with the crowd, and meanwhile they're looking at us, and whether they say it or not, whether they dare to say it or not, they're looking at their parents and thinking, well, you're being carried along by the crowd too. Where do you think I learned to be carried along by the crowd? I learned it from watching you. I see how you're influenced by the people around you and how you let them jerk you around and how you let them control you, and you're being swept along by the crowd that you run with. You hook up with the wrong crowd, and that crowd will carry you places where you never thought you would ever go. So being carried along is something that we're all familiar with, and these folks were being carried along, and when they were challenged on it, they didn't like it. And they didn't want to put up with any change, and they didn't want to put up with anything different, and they were not willing to step off of what was carrying them and step on to faith in Christ and go with him. Now, the 12, when they were challenged, they said, no, we're going to stay with you because you have the words of life. And where else could we go and hear the words of life? So we believe in you. We don't know where you're carrying us, but we're going to stay with you and stick with you and let faith carry us wherever it will. You can imagine when people came and they were looking for Peter, and Peter's dad said, well, I don't know where Peter is today, but that Jesus guy came in, and Peter just got carried away and left his fishing and just went off with Jesus. He just got carried away. You see this with all the disciples. All of a sudden, something happens to them. They're living normal lives until they get carried away. What happened with Zacchaeus? You remember the wee little man, the little guy that was too short to see over the crowd, and he had to climb up in a sycamore tree? He was a tax collector. After he met Jesus, he was still a tax collector. He didn't leave his tax collection business and go and travel with the disciples and travel with Jesus during his earthly ministry. He went back to his business, but he got so carried away because of what Jesus had done for him that he restored everything that he had stolen and made full restitution and then some to demonstrate that something had changed in his life. And they thought, man, this guy really got carried away after that visit from Jesus. Jesus came to his house, and he was never the same after that. He just got carried away. And he didn't get carried away with religion. He got carried away with living a godly life and demonstrating it by the way he treated other people, which was a 180 from the way that he had treated them before. He looked at every person before he met Jesus as someone he could potentially rip off. And he looked at every person and sized them up and tried to figure out how best to rip them off. And after he met Jesus, his whole perspective on everybody changed, on himself and on everybody else. And he was no longer that kind of man because he got carried away with the Lord and carried away in faith to serve the Lord. When you think about getting carried away and you think about people that were carried by something other than their own power and other than the powers of the enemy or the powers of the flesh, there's a woman that the Bible refers to as the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to read about her in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says, a woman in the crowd had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. And she had spent all she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. And she had heard reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe. For she thought, if I just touch his clothing, I will get well. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body and knew without any doubt that she was healed of her suffering. And immediately Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in around you from all sides and you ask, who touched me? And still he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. So let's look at this woman now. For 12 years, she has been putting her faith and her confidence in the experts and putting her faith and confidence in the advice that was given to her by friends and loved ones. They would indicate a new expert. They would say, here's a new guy. Go see him. And he'll charge you X number of dollars, and you go to him, and you pay your money, and this guy is the guy that will help you. So for 12 years, she was able to keep that up. That's a long time, isn't it? She was able to keep up that confidence that something's going to happen. But her condition continually worsened. So she started off bad enough in year one to go to the doctor. She was feeling poorly enough that she went to the doctor. And every subsequent year for 12 years, her condition worsened. She spent money every year. She went to doctors every year. She went to these experts, and to no avail. But what carried her along was this confidence that someday someone is going to solve my problem. How many of us are looking for that someday that's going to come? Someday everything's going to be right. Someday everything's going to be different. Someday someone's going to help me. Someone's going to come along and say the right words or pray for me or do something. Someone's going to help me out. Someone is going to be the key to my deliverance someday. So our hope is in a couple of strange things when we really break it down. We're not really trusting in Jesus. We're trusting in someone called someday. I don't know who he is, but we put a lot of confidence in him. And we're looking ahead, not by faith, but we're looking ahead just hoping that we'll luck out and our lucky day will come. Someday my ship will come in. Someday, you know, this will break or this will change or something will happen. I don't know what, but I'm just looking for that blessed someday. And then we have this idea that it will be someone. We're not sure who it's going to be. We're not sure where they're going to come from. We're not sure what their name is or anything about them. We don't know them from a load of hay. But we just know that someone's out there. Someone's out there. So this mysterious someday is hanging out there. And this mysterious someone is hanging out there. and we're hoping and waiting for them. We're just waiting. I'm waiting on someday. I'm waiting on someone. And we live our lives that way. You can be a Christian and live your life that way. You can go to church and hear preaching about Jesus and not be looking for Jesus to do anything for you. You just, oh, I've heard that before. I prayed before. I've been paralyzed. I'm not looking for him. I'm just, someday someone's going to come. The right person, the right preacher, the right prayer is going to be prayed. Someone's going to pray it. Someday they'll pray it. Someday this will happen. And we look for that. And yet her condition worsened. She came to the point where she ran completely out of money. So now she's looking at someday and thinking, well, how am I going to be able to pay if someday someone comes along? I got no more money. As long as she had some money, she felt that someday was going to come. And as long as she had some money, she knew she could pay someone to do something. And this is the way that she lived. Getting worse, getting worse, getting worse, weaker, weaker, more anemic, more desperate with each passing day. Then someone says, Jesus is here today. When they said that, something changed. They told her what Jesus was doing. They told her who Jesus was purported to be, that we think this is the Messiah. That's what they're saying. He's healing the sick. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's doing miracles and signs and wonders everywhere he goes. All the sick are being healed. And that testimony about Jesus, the testimony of Jesus that was given to her, sparked something in her. When you read your Bible, you're reading the testimony of Jesus. And when you read the testimony of Jesus in the Bible, it sparks something in us. And faith can rise up and be fanned into flame. And faith for someday now becomes faith for today. And someday became now. The Bible says now faith is. So instead of looking for some day to come, she knew that it was today. This is the day that my life is going to change. And instead of thinking about some expert somewhere that could minister to her and heal her as a doctor, she heard about Jesus and his power to heal as the Son of God. And she realized that my hope cannot be any longer in someone. My hope is going to have to be in Christ. I'm going to have to put my faith not in someone, not in a doctor. I'm going to have to put my faith in Jesus Christ. So someday became now, and someone became Jesus. You see the progression? Where are you at in that continuum? Are you still looking for someday? Are you still looking for someone? Don't you need to come to your senses now today and realize that it's not someday, it's today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God wants to work in my life and in your life. And that it isn't someone who's going to take care of you. It's not someone's problem to fix. It's God who promised, hey, I created you. I'll carry you. I'm going to carry you from start to finish, but you're going to have to come to me by faith. You're going to have to come to me by faith. And the truth is that most people don't come to the Lord until they have exhausted every other means of carrying themselves or being carried by others. So people will say, man, I'm so tired of carrying these burdens. I'm so tired of trying to carry my own weight and carry my own pack and carry my own load here. It's just gotten heavier and heavier, and I just can't do it anymore. I can't carry this kind of burden. I can't carry this kind of stress. I just can't do it. And we look around and we kind of get upset with people around us, and we want family to carry a part of it. And won't you carry some of this? And won't you carry some of that? And we'll go to different people and say, you need to carry this and you need to carry that. One of the most damaging things that I could do for you would be to try to convince you that you can come to me and I'll carry your stuff. I can't carry your stuff. I'm not created to carry your stuff. God was the one that said he would carry you by faith. If I teach you how to step into faith, then faith will carry you through the crisis that you're going through. Faith will carry you into the victory that you're seeking. Amen? Don't depend on me to do that. I'm not looking to you for that. You can't carry me through. Only God can carry me through. You can't carry me where I need to go. Only God has the power to carry me there. Amen? I can't be looking to you for that. You can't be looking to me for that. You're here to learn about the one who can carry you. You're here to put your faith and trust and increase the amount of your life that you give over to him so that he will carry you where you need to go. Amen. Some of us just simply choose to live within a small circle that is very, very limited. And even though we come to church and hear about the abundant life, we don't recognize how you walk in the abundant life. You don't recognize how that happens. When I came to Jesus, I was just a boy. But I started allowing him to carry me. And I started putting my faith and my trust in him to carry me. And where did he carry me first? He just carried me to school every day. And he started carrying me to school. And I began to realize that the faith that I was getting through reading the Bible every night, and the faith that I was getting by fellowshipping in the local church every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday night, that faith was for Monday. That was a startling revelation. Do you know why you're here today? You're not here for Sunday. Sunday's too easy. Sunday's not real, is it? Sunday, the world stops, and we just step aside for a minute. What do we do on Monday? We jump back in. We get in our car, and our car carries us into real life. Do you know what else I need to carry me on Monday? I need faith. I need faith to carry me into my Monday. I need to live what I'm preaching on Sunday and bring it with me into Monday and have it carry me through. And I realized that, wow, this isn't for church. This is for me to take to school with me on Monday. So I started being carried through my school day by faith. You know what that involved? That involved taking my Bible with me to class every day. That involved obeying God when he said, I want you to start the day off by praying in the gymnasium. And just let it be known, we're going to pray before the bell rings. So everybody that got there on the bus, everybody was bussed in. It was a rural area. So when the buses pulled in, they pulled in early and they let the kids off, and we had maybe 10 minutes before the bell rang. So we would go to the gymnasium and we would start the day off in prayer. Do you know how we did that? Faith carried us. Faith carried us into the gym. We were just dumb kids, carried along by faith. Just letting faith take us wherever it wanted to take us. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a vision. We didn't have an idea. We didn't have a clue. All of us were newly saved. We weren't Bible scholars. We didn't know nothing from nothing, but we just were dumb enough and childish enough and simple enough to let faith carry us. We weren't self-confident. We didn't know enough to be prideful. We weren't old enough to throw our weight around. We didn't have any money, so we had to go by faith. We just had to trust God and go by faith. So that was where I first started getting training in that and getting practice in that. And then I went off to college, and faith carried me through college. And faith carried me into marriage, and faith carried me into ministry, and faith carried me to the nations of the world, and faith has carried me every step of the way. For the last 12 years that we've been in this building program, faith has carried me every day. We're where we are today because faith has carried us to that place. Like the woman who completely ran out of strength, ran out of money, how do you think she got close enough to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment? Have you ever been in a crowd like that? Have you ever tried to fight your way from the back of a crowded elevator when the door opens and you find yourself in that horrible position of being in the back of the elevator, but the door opens and it's on your floor and you need to get out? How do you fight your way through all those people? That takes some strength and some energy, doesn't it? If you're going to get off that elevator in time before that door closes and you wind up taking a ride that you didn't want to take, then you're going to have to push and fight your way through. And that's just a few feet. Can you imagine thousands and thousands of people? Can you imagine Jesus somewhere lost in the middle of that crowd? He's not riding in the big Pope mobile, so you can't see him. You don't know where he's. You know he's in there somewhere in the middle. You've been sick for 12 years. You're anemic. You've been bleeding every day. You're weak. You're discouraged. You get up, you feel like faith has carried you to the fringe of that crowd, but now faith has got you standing there on the fringe of that crowd. And you know somewhere in the middle of that mass of humanity is Jesus. And you know that the word that you got from the Lord and the word that's burning in your heart is the hem of his garment, the hem of his garment. How am I going to fight through this mass of people and touch the hem of his garment? I'm so weak I can hardly stand up. Do you think she did it by physical strength? No way. Do you think that she did it by willpower? She was just such an incredibly strong-willed person. By the time you've been sick for 12 years and you've run completely out of money, I'll tell you what, you don't have much gas left in the tank. What do you think propelled her through that crush of humanity and gave her the strength to fight her way through all those people? Maybe you think that they were all just gentlemen and everybody just stood aside and said, oh, folks, let's let this sick lady pass through. I don't think so. At that time, in that culture, those people were not willing to give place or give way to anybody. They were all pressing in with all that they had to get their needs met. It's interesting that they were crowded around him and everybody was touching him, but only power went out from him when she touched him. Everybody else came with different motives. Everybody else came for a quick fix. Everybody else came driven by their own strength, driven by their own desire, their own desperation, their own demand to get their thing, what it was that they wanted. She was the one that was carried by faith. And faith got her through that crush of people, got her through that multitude. Faith got her right where she needed to be so she could touch the hem of his garment. And she rode on it, and she stood on it. And it took her someplace, and it took her right straight to Jesus. And her life was completely changed. And Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you well. Think about the guys from Mark chapter 2, the four guys that crawled up on the roof. They got a sick buddy. He's paralyzed. They got so carried away by their faith that they hooked up some ropes to his bed, and they hoisted him up to the roof of that house and dug through the roof of that house and lowered his bed down so Jesus could lay hands on him and pray for him. You talk about getting carried away. And we're all worried about kind of seemingly, you know, getting lost in religion. You know, I want to maintain my individuality. I want to maintain my identity. I don't want to get carried away with all this stuff. I want to be able to relate to the rest of the world. I don't want to get crazy with this. These guys lost their minds. Think about it. If you had that idea, you'd have to get three other crazy guys to go along with you and pull this guy up to the roof of the building, and you'd have to all be in agreement that when you dug a hole through the roof of this building and lowered this guy down, you'd have to all be just giddy with the expectation that, oh, it's going to be so great when he gets healed. He's going to get up and walk after we do this. And you had to be carried away in your faith to that degree. Wow. I'm telling you. We wonder why we don't see things. We wonder why things don't change. We wonder why stuff ain't happening. And I'll tell you what, it happens to people that get carried away by faith. You want to hold on to your dignity, you want to hold on to your intellect, you want to hold on to your logic, you want to hold on to your science, you go ahead and hold on to it. And it'll take you somewhere, but it won't take you up. It won't take you into these kinds of things. You won't have those kinds of experiences. That won't be your testimony. That won't be your history. Think about Jonathan, King Saul's son. The Philistines are on the move, and he and his armor bearer are doing some reconnaissance. And so they're just sort of scouts out there on their own. And they see the Philistines on the other side of a little gully, and there's a hillside there, and they're on the high ground, and they don't wait for reinforcements, and they don't call it an airstrike, and they don't do any of that kind of stuff. They don't wait for anything. Jonathan, all of a sudden, gets carried away in faith and says to his armor bearer, let's go get him. And what does the armor bearer say? Oh, let's not get carried away now, Jonathan. Let's not lose our minds now. Let's think about this for just a minute. He says, no, whatever's in your heart to do, I'm with you. Let's do it. You want to go? Let's go. You've got friends that want to agree to carry you off to the club and carry you off to this place and carry you off to that place. And usually for us to really do a bad job of things, we got to get some people to kind of go along with us. You want to really sin and really mess up, you got to do it in groups. You got to have a partner. Got to have a wingman. That's what you got to have. It's no fun to just do it by yourself. There's nobody to talk to after it's all over. Man, remember how blasted, you know, you want to be able to reminisce. You want a witness, don't you? You want somebody that sees how crazy you really are. And yet, Jonathan is right there. His armor bearer is right there. And he's just all in. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. We've done some crazy things before, but this is the craziest thing we've ever done. And they weren't carried along by military tactics. They weren't carried along by any kind of confidence in themselves that they were able to deal with these people. They were grossly outnumbered, grossly outgunned. They didn't have weapons. And they crawl up. They have no strategic advantage. They don't have the element of surprise. And they crawl up on their hands and their knees to get to the top. And then a miracle happens. And 20 of these Philistines attack them, and they kill all 20 of them. And that sparks a panic retreat on behalf of the whole Philistine army. They just panic and just run for their lives because of one man's getting carried away by faith. Jonathan got carried away. He didn't go up that hillside carried by pride or carried away by anger or carried away by, you know, thoughts of suicide. He didn't have any of those kinds of things propelling him. What carried him up that hillside and what carried him into battle was faith in God. And faith gives us the victory. The odds are against us, but carried by faith, we win every time. If faith is carrying you, you're going to win. You're going to win. If you're carried by some other motive, carried by some other force, not so much. Not so much. But you'll win by faith every time, consistently. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what the Bible promises. God says, if you step out in me in faith, I will carry you. In case you didn't hear me, he said it again. I will carry you. And then to convince the skeptics and the doubters, he said, no, really, I'm serious. Listen to me. This is the third time I'm not saying it again. I will carry you. I made you and I will carry you. That's God's promise to us. Think about David running across that open field with no cover whatsoever, no weapons, no armor, no nothing against a giant experienced in warfare with five smooth stones. What carried him every step of the way? Now, I know that he said to King Saul that he'd killed lions and he'd killed a bear, and I don't believe that he said that because he was wanting to make the case that he was able or that he was up for the job based on his resume, based on his past experiences. He wasn't saying that because I've done this, I can do this. He was only talking the language that King Saul would understand because King Saul was full of fear and full of unbelief. So he couldn't talk to him about faith. He couldn't talk to him about trusting God. He couldn't talk to him about how faith was going to carry him to victory because Saul didn't believe in that stuff. Saul would not have understood that. Saul would have said no. He had to give him something so that he would have permission to use his faith. He wasn't using his past experiences. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wasn't basing anything on that. He knew how he was going to do it. He was only doing it because he had faith in God. He knew that the Lord was going to bless him. He knew that the Lord was going to empower him. And so propelled by faith, carried by faith, the giant fell. Some of us are trying to fight the giant in our own strength. Some of us are trying to live life in our own strength. We're trying to live by logic. We're trying to live by this, and we're being propelled, and we're being carried by anger and by fear and by jealousy and by greed and lust and all kinds of things. And we're being carried away by that stuff. And the people that are closest to you know what carries you away. They know what will get you carried off. Carried off into an evil imagination, carried off into a tirade, carried off into a bunch of cursing and profanity, carried off into a drunk, or carried off into a whatever. They know what it is that sets you off and what carries you. And it's time to change, mounts. All right? Time to dismount. Get off the anger and get onto faith. Get off the fear and get onto faith. Get off of self-confidence and get onto faith. Amen? Get off religion and get onto faith. Get off of someday someone and get onto faith. That's what it's time for. In all of our lives, God's going to take you somewhere. The circle of your life is too small. The circle of your influence is too small. It's determined by all kinds of things. And the life that God's called you to live can only be lived if you allow yourself to be carried by faith. I can remember how angry I used to get with my wife when we were first married, and we're celebrating this week now, this coming week, our 38th wedding anniversary. Thank you. Praise God. So, when we were first married, because she had been raised in a faith environment, and I had not been raised in a faith environment, I was raised in a godly environment, but it was one that was very practical, very pragmatic, and very much based on, you know, you can only do what you can afford to do, or you can only do what you have the power to do. If the money's not in the bank account, you don't do it. And you let your budget tell you what it is that you can and cannot do. And I'm all for budgeting, and I'm all for fiscal responsibility and good stewardship. I'm all for that stuff. But my wife knew how to live differently. She knew how to live by faith, and I did not. And when we had an opportunity, she felt like, you know, she was supposed to go somewhere. I remember she felt like she was supposed to go to Israel, and it just made me angry. I thought, we cannot afford to go to Israel. We can't afford to buy a ticket. There's no way that that's going to happen, and there's no way that we can do it. And she said, well, I believe that I'm going to go. And I said, oh, do you really? And who do you think is going to pay for all of that? Who do you think is going to pay for that ticket? Because in my world, you only did the things that you had the money to do. In other words, you know what a compass is? You know what a compass is? A protractor? And you take your money and you make a dot on the page and you stick the point of the protractor on there. And then you spread it out according to how much, whatever the numbers are. If it's 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever it is. And you spread it out and then you draw a circle, and that's the world you live in. And you can't live in any world that's outside of that. Because you can't cross that line, because the money has drawn the line for your life. The boundaries of your life are determined by that. And that's what I believed with all of my heart. I mean, that was what I had experienced. And then I marry this woman and she's telling me, oh, no, that's not how you live. And all that made me mad. Oh, I just felt like, oh, you're just, women are, man. Just doesn't know how to think about anything. I mean, this is going to be terrible. To put up with this for 38 years, man, how am I going to do that? But what I didn't know was that, you know, she had a life experience of this already before she married me, so it was too late. She's looking at me like, you poor dummy. Why did I marry a guy like this? I mean, you know, you have no idea how to live your life. You have no idea how this is going to go. And if you don't want to live by faith, then fine. But I'm going to live by faith. Whether you do or not, I'm going to live by faith. What I didn't realize was that when we were in college together, one semester, her dad had told her, listen, there's no money for college. So I think you should go to a school. You're going to have to transfer to a school where there was a school nearby. And in this school, if you worked for the school, you got tuition free, but you had to work for the school. And he said, you need to transfer there. She said, I don't feel like that's what God wants me to do. I feel like I'm supposed to stay at the school that I'm in. I was a transfer student. And so the year that she had this crisis was the year that I was going to come. I was going to transfer to that school. This was the year that her dad said, you need to leave that school and go to another school that's cheaper. And she felt in her heart, no, I can't do that. I'm supposed to go to this school. Well, he said, if you believe that, if you have faith for that, then you'll have to use your faith, because we, your mom and I, cannot help you. We do not have the finances. They were missionaries, and they just did not have the money to do it at that time, to help with college. And she knew that God had spoken to her, so she let faith carry her through the registration line. Imagine now. Do you know how much money she had in her pocket? She had a quarter. She's in the registration line registering for classes. Her mind is being attacked the whole time. And she's thinking, boy, when I get to the end of this line, they're going to want me to pay. And what am I going to do then? And that would have been the time that most of us would have dropped out of the line. Our pride would have said, I can't bear the embarrassment of getting to the end of the line and having them present me with the bill and having to tell them I can't pay. So you would have just dropped out. You'd have said, this is crazy. I'm just going to go home. I'll just go. I'll transfer to the other school. But she didn't do that. She rode faith and let faith carry her to the end of the registration line, registered for all of her classes. They started fooling around with the calculator, looked up her name and started punching, and doing things. And they presented her with her bill, and she gave them a quarter, and they gave her 6 cents in change back. It was 19 cents. That was her bill. So that's the woman that I married. And I'm trying to tell her that she can't do stuff, that she can't let faith carry her places, And she's looking at me like, listen, you and I wouldn't even know each other because I would have transferred out of here. When you transferred in here, we would have missed like two ships passing in the night. And do you know why we're together today? Because she let faith carry her to the end of that registration line. She could have dropped out at any time. Stupid. Crazy. But that's how she lived. So then that presented a problem for me. And I was faced with a choice. I can either beat her down and make her live within this little circle that I have drawn for our life, or I can step out of that circle and let faith carry me wherever it wants me to go. And you know the choice that I made. I made the right one. I made the right one. And that was a huge breakthrough for me. And it was necessary for us to do what we've been called to do as a church. You couldn't have somebody leading this church that was going to be carried by anything other than faith. If we're not carried by faith, we're not going to go anywhere. If we're allowing ourselves to get carried away by faith, we will go everywhere and do everything. Everywhere and do everything. Amen? Amen. Let faith carry you. Let faith carry you off into all kinds of things. I want some of you to get so carried away this afternoon that you tithe for the very first time. You just get carried away and just, I don't know what came over me, but I just got carried away and I just wrote out a tithe check. Never done that before in my life. Just wrote out a tithe check. Can't believe it. Don't know what's going to happen now, but I'm just going to be carried through the rest of this pay period by faith. I'm going to let faith carry me. And I challenge you to do it. Some of you, I pray, will get so carried away that you'll start serving. And you'll let faith carry you into, you say, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that and I don't have time for this and I'm not all that and I, you know, there's other people can do better than I can. But faith is stirring in your heart to serve and make an impact and do something. And you've got to give up to it and yield to it and let it carry you off. Amen? Just let it get a hold of you and just take you someplace. It's the beginning. If you will allow it, it'll be the beginning of a brand new life for you. This woman was carried away by faith and touched the hem of his garment, and her life was never the same. There are places that you cannot go and I cannot go. We'll never see, we'll never touch unless we're carried there by faith. Amen? Amen? So what will be the history of your life? What is carrying you? Who is carrying you? And what will be the history of your life? Will you be a person that is known among your peers, and will you be a person that is known historically among your family members as a person that when it came to the things of God, you were always one that they could count on to be carried away? Not carried away by religion, not carried away by false doctrine, not carried away by the opinions of man, but carried away by real faith, true faith, based on the word of God. Amen? Will you be that kind of a person? Will that be the example that you leave for your children and your children's children? And that's a choice that we all get to make. We're going to be carried by something. We're going to be carried by something. If we're wise and if we're truly understanding, we will make sure that we're carried by faith. You'll make sure of that. Amen? If you're wise. If you're not wise, you'll let something else carry you. But nothing will carry you to God. Nothing will carry you to the end. Nothing will carry you where you want to spend eternity except faith. That's it. Amen? Faith. Amen? Everybody say, carried away. Carried away. Amen? Let's get carried away in Jesus' name.